Well, kia ora RCC. It is great to be back with you. It feels like this an annual pilgrimage that I get to come to Christchurch and hang out here and be with you. And to those who were part of the seminar yesterday, it was actually quite lovely singing the Lord's Prayer. Thanks, Isabel, for picking that. But that's what we were talking through yesterday. So it was a real joy to be with you for those of you who were part of that. You know, one of the most common questions that many of us end up asking in life, in different seasons of life, is one of the most basic questions of all. Does God really love me? We can understand that God is a God who loves the world, but to make that individualized, to think about ourselves, does God really love me, is altogether a different question. And maybe it may be a season of doubt that we are in, where we're just struggling with some big questions about faith. And as part of that, as the questions are rummaging around in our brain, we just wonder, does God love me? Or maybe it might be a season of difficulty that we're in, going through one of those dark valleys of life, and we just don't sense God with us in some of those moments. And so this question can just crop up in our brains. Does God really love me? Or maybe we've failed. We've blown it, we've sinned, we've messed up, we feel guilty. And so this question just comes up, does God really love me? Or maybe we've been rejected by someone else. And that hurt is really real, and it raises a question about whether God will reject us. Does he really love me? And wherever that question comes from, I think almost all of us have had to deal with that and struggle with that at some point in our journey. And if you're not a follower of Jesus and you're just here and exploring faith maybe with a friend and asking questions, that can still be a very real question to wrestle with. Does God actually love me? And today I want to answer that question in part by coming to an amazing claim that Jesus makes. In the Gospel of John, which is one of the four biographies about Jesus in our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the fourth Gospel, John, Jesus makes some incredible claims that all begin with the words, I am. There's seven of them in all. And scattered through this Gospel, Jesus will make these incredible claims. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. And today I want to look at one of those claims with you that I think is actually perhaps the most moving and the most emotive and the most meaningful for this question that we can so often wrestle with. Does God really love me? It's a claim he makes in the Gospel of John chapter 10. And here's what he says. We begin in verses 1 to 3. I am the good shepherd. He says this, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, who were the religious leaders who opposed him, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. So villagers in the ancient world that Jesus lived in would have a common sheep pen within the village, and so many of the families who had sheep, they would all come back to the village at night. Their sheep would go in with everyone else's sheep into the pen, and someone would look after those while you can head home and have a decent night's sleep in your own bed. But Jesus is saying if someone is to jump into that pen or come in, rather than coming through the gate, which was guarded by someone, rather than coming, you know, jumping the fence to try and get one of the sheep. But he's saying this to these religious leaders who are opposing him. So the implication is they're the kind of dudes who jump over the fence rather than coming in through the gate. So he says, anyone who does that is a thief and a robber. Verse 2, but the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, comes in legitimately, and the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And then you come down further to verse 14, and this is where Jesus makes one of these great I am claims. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And so he takes this imagery, this metaphor from the ancient world that many would have been familiar with, this idea of a shepherd caring for his sheep, and he stands there and says, that's me. I am the good shepherd. If you go to the ancient catacombs beneath the city of Rome, you will find some of the earliest evidence of our Christian brothers and sisters who followed Jesus in the earliest centuries after his death and resurrection. And in fact, some of the earliest artwork of Jesus is found in those catacombs. This is perhaps the earliest piece of art we have of the Lord Jesus Christ from his later followers, from the catacombs of Rome. And what it is, it's a picture of a shepherd. You'll notice a couple of sheep either side of this figure of Jesus who happened to be in a Roman toga, which is, I'm not sure, completely accurate. But there's these two sheep with this is this picture of Jesus as the good shepherd. And if you look really carefully, you realize there's a third sheep. The third sheep is draped over the shoulders of the shepherd as he carries that sheep in life. This has become one of the great images of who Jesus is based on this very claim. And in fact, this imagery of Jesus as the shepherd not just inspired this particular artwork from millennia ago in Rome, but it's inspired artwork through the centuries as people are captivated by this idea of Jesus as the good shepherd. He is the one who knows his sheep and loves his sheep. And I want to suggest today, if you've ever pondered that question, does God really love me? That this imagery in particular, this metaphor that Jesus uses, answers that question boldly. This is the key idea I want you to remember. To know you are loved, look to the shepherd. To know that you are deeply loved, look to the shepherd. Come near to the shepherd. Draw near to the shepherd of your souls. But when Jesus stood up that day and he made this claim, I am the good shepherd, he wasn't actually making a claim out of the blue. Jesus wasn't looking around him and seeing a few shepherds wander past in that moment and he had a flash of inspiration and thought, oh, that's a cool, I'm the good shepherd. No, what Jesus is actually doing in this moment is he is actually picking up a thread that runs back more than 2,000 years into the Old Testament. And he's picking up this idea, this thread of a thought, and claiming to be the fulfillment of a story that has been unfolding for 2,000 years. And so this morning, to help us understand the power of this image, I want to take you on that journey back through the Old Testament story 2,000 years. So we're going to build a timeline up here on stage, and so we're going to begin the timeline 2,000 years before Jesus came. It begins with one of the ancient ancestors of Israel, a man named Jacob. Jacob's father was a man named Isaac. His dad was a wonderful figure of faith named Abraham. It was to Abraham that God appeared and made these incredible promises that he was going to make a great nation out of this man, and that nation would bless the entire world, a promise that was fulfilled in Jesus. And so this promise was passed from Abraham to Isaac, and then from Isaac down to Jacob. And Abraham and Isaac were men who followed God and generally walked pretty well with God, although they had their moments of wobble. Jacob was a different story. Jacob had more wobble than walking. In fact, one of the books that I have on my bookshelf about the life of Jacob, it's entitled God's Rascal. And I love that. Jacob got a lot of things wrong. His story, if you read it in the opening book of the Bible, Genesis, is a story of more misses than hits, more missteps than walking by faith. And yet when he got to the end of his life as an old man, been separated from one of his sons, Joseph, for many years, but at the end of his life, he's in the land of Egypt where Joseph ended up. Joseph has had two boys, and it comes to this moment in Genesis 18 where Jacob is about to bless his two grandsons that he's never met before. And as he goes to bless them, Jacob is the very first person to come up with this metaphor of God. He is the first one to use this idea that God is a shepherd. Here's what Jacob says in his blessing. May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, may he bless these boys. And Jacob is the very first person in the Bible to pick up this image. You see, Jacob was a shepherd. His wife Rachel was a shepherd. And he, through a lifetime of caring for sheep, has come to see this is what God's like. And Jacob was not a good sheep. If there was ever a black sheep in the story, that was him. He'd wandered off, he'd done crazy things, his character never often measured up very well. And yet he gets to the end of his life as an old man and he says, you know, God has been my shepherd and he has been with me every day of this journey where I have gone all over the place. He has actually walked with me that whole way. So the invitation begins, this metaphor begins in the life of this rascal who says, God is a shepherd. If you want to know you're loved, look to this shepherd who walks with us no matter where we go in life. Look to the shepherd. You fast forward about 1,000 years and you come to another shepherd in the story. He becomes even more famous in the story of the Bible. His name is David. He begins as a shepherd. He ends up as the king of God's people. And along the way, he writes a whole multitude of songs that we call Psalms in the book of Psalms in our Bible. But out of all of the Psalms that David wrote, there's one Psalm that is particularly loved and has been for centuries. Psalm 23, you may know it well. And what David does is he reaches back 1,000 years to his ancestor Jacob, who sketched out this idea, God has been my shepherd. And David adds some detail. He fleshes out this picture, the sketch that Jacob had drawn, and adds a bit more nuance and detail and shading to the picture in this stunning psalm. Here's how it begins. Yahweh is my shepherd. Therefore, is the implication to the next line, I lack nothing. Because he's my shepherd, walking through my life with me, I have everything I need. He says in the next line, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And what David does is he takes the sketch of his ancestor Jacob and he begins to fill in the details. And as you unpack this metaphor that he develops in the first four verses of the psalm, he begins to add this detail of what it means that God is my shepherd. There's four things in particular that were part of the job description of a shepherd that David unpacks. A shepherd takes care of the sheep. Looks after the sheep. When it's injured, when it's broken, when it's wandered away, the shepherd cares for that sheep. The shepherd directs the sheep. So in the ancient world, a shepherd wouldn't stand like a farmer in New Zealand and whistle to the sheepdog and drive the sheepdog from the sheep from behind. In the ancient world, a shepherd would walk out in front and would lead the way and would call the sheep to follow his voice. A shepherd would provide care and provide direction, and provide provision. He lays me down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And a shepherd would give protection. David will talk at one point about the fact he has protected the flock that he looked after from a lion and from a bear. That was the job of a shepherd in the ancient world, to care, to direct and lead, to provide, to protect. And so when David takes the sketch of Jacob and he begins to add this rich detail to it, he's helping us see this is what God is like. He's a shepherd who not only walks with us, but he cares for us. Come forward a couple of hundred years, and another great figure in the landscape of the Bible steps forward, a preacher, a prophet, that we call Isaiah. And Isaiah adds color to this developing picture of God as a shepherd. He writes perhaps the most poetic description of God we find in Isaiah 40 verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd, talking about God. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. You think about the image from the catacombs of Rome for a minute. Isaiah 40 is the inspiration of that picture. This is what a shepherd is, who tenderly carries the young, the broken, the injured, close to his heart. And so this developing picture we're getting through the story of the Bible is of a shepherd who walks with us, a shepherd who cares for us, a shepherd who carries us. And then another preacher stepped forward a couple of hundred years later. This prophet was called Ezekiel. By the time Ezekiel comes into the story, the nation of Israel has left their land. They've been exiled because of their disobedience and sin, and yet Ezekiel continues to bring these messages of hope to God's people. And in Ezekiel 34, there's this extraordinary prophecy against the leaders of Israel who have failed God's people, but this shepherd metaphor comes through. So Ezekiel begins this way in verse 2, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, the leaders of the nation. Prophesy and say this to them, this is what the sovereign Yahweh says, woe to you, you shepherds. Woe to you leaders who only take care of yourselves. Shouldn't the shepherds take care of the flock? Because that's what Yahweh, God, is like." He continues in verse 4, "You've not strengthened the weak. You've not healed those who are ill. You've not bound up the injured and carried them until they are well. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." And this indictment comes through this prophet, this preacher, against the leaders of God's people who have failed to be shepherds like God is a shepherd. And then a few verses later, there is this remarkable change and an incredible promise. God says this from verse 11, and notice the words that I've highlighted. This is what the sovereign Yahweh says. I myself will search for the sheep and look for them. As a shepherd looks after the scattered sheep when he is with them, I'll look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered in this day of cloud and darkness. He goes on, I will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring them back. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd my flock with justice. And God here is building on this powerful imagery that Jacob sketched out, and then David added the detail to, and Isaiah colored in, and now through Ezekiel, God says, I am going to come and be the shepherd. I myself am going to step into human history to be the shepherd of my people. And based on all of this through the centuries, then we come to John 10, and Jesus steps forward. And he says these powerful words in John 10. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The gatekeeper will open the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep will listen to his voice, and he will call his own sheep by name and lead them out. I am that shepherd. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is proclaiming himself not simply as one who cares for the flock. This isn't just a great word picture to describe Jesus' heart. Jesus is standing in 2,000 years of biblical history and saying this wonderful picture that has developed through the years of what God is like, that culminates in this promise through Ezekiel that God will actually step into human history and be that kind of shepherd. And Jesus says, I'm here. I've come. I am this good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and my sheep will listen to my voice. See, a good shepherd walks with the flock, cares for the flock, carries the flock, is with the flock. And Jesus says, I have now come. I am that good shepherd. I am here. This imagery of the shepherd or the sheep listening to the voice of the shepherd, it's explored really beautifully in a wonderful book on leadership by a guy called Lynn Anderson. He tells a story of a friend of his named Roy who got to visit the land of Israel many years ago. And Roy was out in the countryside of Israel away from the cities, and as he was out one day just having a look and exploring this amazing land where Jesus had once walked, he actually noticed a shepherd walking along a path. And it was a shepherd kind of in robes and kind of, you know, the way that they would normally do. And behind him was a little group of about half a dozen sheep. It was like this picture of the Old Testament's narrative was just right in front of him. And as he watched, the shepherd was kind of meandering down this little path into a small valley below him as he stood up there. And he saw down the bottom there were more shepherds and sheep crowded around. And the shepherd kind of came down and waved out and moved over and just began this discussion. There was three or four or five of them down in the valley floor. And so these shepherds were obviously just having a catch up and, you know, comparing social media things and whatever they were doing. And the sheep just slowly kind of scattered around and began to eat until all of the sheep of these four or five shepherds were all just mixed up together. And Roy was standing kind of higher up on a hill just watching this unfold in front of him in the valley. And he thought, I wonder what they're going to do when it's time for one of them to go. And so he stayed and he watched. And a few minutes after they'd kind of had their little conference or whatever they were doing, one of the sheep just kind of started to walk along whatever path he was heading to home. And he walks along and Roy said, and then he turned around and he just kind of made this call. Yip, 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 yip. And Roy said, all of a sudden, there's a few scattered sheep all over. Suddenly, heads are up, looking around, follow the voice. And they just turned and they followed the shepherd. And then one of the other shepherds said, yo, yo, yo. You know, he was more a baritone, whatever. and a few more sheep, heads up. That was their shepherd. And they followed. And Roy said it was this remarkable picture of exactly what Jesus was saying in John chapter 10. As these individual sheep never moved, never even looked up until they heard the voice they knew of the one who cared for them and walked with them and carried them. And when they heard his voice, then they looked up and then they moved and then they followed. And as Jesus stands in this moment in John's gospel, and he says, I am the good shepherd. That's the picture. But it's a picture that is built on this rich story of a God who walks with his people, a God who cares for his people, a God who carries his people close to his heart, a God who promises to come to his people. And Jesus says here in John 10, a God, a shepherd who knows each of his sheep, knows them by name, knows you by name, knows your quirks, knows your idiosyncrasies, knows your fears, knows your hopes. That's the shepherd who loves you. And then Jesus adds one final detail. This shepherd who, in fulfilling this job description, Jesus is the one who cares and who directs and who provides and protects. And the idea behind this is that we are to care and we are to respond to the shepherd. But then Jesus adds this one further detail. If we come back to John chapter 10 and verse 11, again he claims, I am the good shepherd. But then he adds this detail. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Down to verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This is the command I've received from my Father. Jesus adds a detail to this picture of God as a shepherd, a God who has now stepped into human history. But he adds a detail that has never been part of the picture before. The picture of God through the Bible as a shepherd has been a God who walks and cares and carries and comes and knows. And now Jesus says there's one more detail you need to understand. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I choose to give my life for you. See, the Bible says that all of us are separated from God because of our sin and our rebellion, our foolishness. All of us have turned to our own way. All of us have lived self-centered lives. All of us have rejected the God who made us. And because of that, the penalty of our sin and failure is death. And so this shepherd comes. And he not only cares and walks with us and cares for us and carries us, he steps into our story to die for us. And he lives the perfect life we could not live. And then he goes to the cross and he takes our place and our sin. And he rises again to show that that is done once and for all. That's our shepherd. To know you are loved, look to that shepherd. Because that's who Jesus said he was. Isaiah, that prophet in this timeline, gives this stunning description of how deeply we have failed. In Isaiah 53, we read these words, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and Yahweh has laid on him, this shepherd who will come, the iniquity of us all." Friends, the message of the Bible is not try harder. The message of the Bible is not clean your life up and then God might love you. The message of the Bible is a message that we call grace. It's a message of a shepherd who loves us, who walks with us, who cares for us, who carries us, and who ultimately dies for us, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, not even because we're lovable sheep. The reason that the Bible uses the imagery of sheep for you and I, honestly, is because sheep are stupid. And so are we. And the message of the Bible is that God loves us anyway. And he invites us to come back to him, to acknowledge our failure, and simply trust in the shepherd. And friends, if you have ever wondered, ever doubted, ever thought, does God really love me? The invitation of the good shepherd is look to me, come near to me, lean into me, trust me, because you are far more loved than you have ever known. If you want to know you're loved, look to the shepherd who walks with you no matter how much of a rascal you have been. A shepherd who cares for you and directs and provides and protects. A shepherd who will carry you through the hardest times. A shepherd who will come and step into your life. A shepherd who knows you by name. And a shepherd who died for you. Today, if you've never put your trust in him, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this amazing good shepherd, the invitation is that you can do that right now. You don't have to clean your life up. You don't need to fix up the mess. You just bring the mess to him and acknowledge the sin and the brokenness and choose to put your faith and trust in this shepherd to give you the relationship you can never earn and never deserve. And you can do that right now in this moment, just in your heart as you talk to God. Or if you want to talk to maybe someone you have come with or someone after the service, you can do that. There'll be a couple of the prayer team up the front here at the end of the service. I'm sitting down the front. If you want to make that commitment, I'd love to have the chance to talk to you about that. For those of you who have made that commitment before, I simply want to remind you today, this is your God. This is your Savior. This is your Shepherd. And if you're in a season right now that is causing you to ask that incredibly common question, does God really love me? Look to the Shepherd, the one who has walked with you and who cares for you and who carries you and who knows you and who died for you. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Lord Jesus, I want to say thank you today for this profound picture we have of you, this amazing God who steps into our world as a human being to love us, to die for us, to win us back. And Lord, I want to pray for every single one of us in the room today, because we all struggle at times with this question. And I pray that whenever this question lurks in our brains or jumps to the very front of our lobes, I pray that we would come running back to this image, so powerfully captured in this unfolding story of the Bible, of a good shepherd. Thank you that we can know for a certainty that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.